Welcome, dear ones, to our main church service, and happy Sabbath to each one of you, those listening on the phone, to the recording, to WLMR Radio. Glad to have you in fellowship with us, and praise God that we're able to worship Him in spirit and His truth on His blessed Sabbath day of rest and worship. And praise His name that we're one day closer to eternal life. Truly, this wicked world does not offer us anything that comes close to what God in Christ offer us. So welcome again, dear ones. Our opening song is Don't Forget the Sabbath. Don't forget the Sabbath the Lord our God has blessed. Of all the week, the brightest, of all the week, the best. It brings repose from labor, it tells of joy divine. Its beams of light descending with heavenly beauty shine. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day.
Keep the Sabbath holy and worship Him today. Who said to His disciples, I am the living way. And if we meekly follow our Savior here below, He'll give us other fountain, the streams eternal flow. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day.
Day of sacred pleasure, its golden hours we'll spend in thankful hymns to Jesus, the children's dearest friend. O gentle, loving Savior, how good and kind Thou art! How precious is Thy promise to dwell in every heart! Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day.
Amen. Amen indeed. And the Sabbath was not just blessed of God, it was also sanctified of God. So in keeping it holy and dwelling with God and He with us, we will not only be blessed, but we will also be sanctified. So indeed, don't forget the Sabbath. Of all the week, it's the brightest and best day, because we get to spend it with God as well as with one another. It's now time for opening prayer, and so may we please bow our heads and our knees as we come before the throne of grace once again. Precious Father in heaven, we thank You for bringing us safely and healthfully to another Sabbath day where we can come apart from our cares and perplexities and focus upon Thee and the blessings that You have showered upon us and will continue to bless us with, and for being our Creator. We pray that Thy presence will continue to be with us and continue to bring the atmosphere of light and joy and peace down to each one of us, as well as love. Savior, we thank You also for being our Creator and for giving us this blessed day of the week, the Sabbath, Your special day that You're Lord over and of, Creator of. draw near to us and let us draw near to you. And indeed, fill us with thyself. Dispel darkness in our hearts with the bright beams of your light and love. And help us indeed to behold wondrous things from your word of life and truth. And dear Spirit, I pray that thy presence will also continue to be with us. Lead and guide us away from error, misunderstanding, falsehood, deception, fanaticism, and everything else connected with the devil. That we might have everything of darkness dispelled from us and filled with the light of our Savior. Open our understanding. Increase our comprehension ability, quicken our perception and discernment, and help us to see areas regarding this special day that we may not have seen before. Forgive us for defiling it or not keeping it holy as we should have. And please awaken us to righteousness that we might indeed from this point on truly keep the Sabbath holy. And thank you for helping us. Be with all of our guests, regulars, members, visitors. And please bless them in a special way. Be with those who are not with us this Sabbath. Encourage them, strengthen them, and bring them back into fellowship soon. And thank you for being with us now. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So again, happy Sabbath, one and all. And this is part 10 in our series on examining our faith. And for those that would like to follow along with the notes and quotes I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/ID1313.htm. And thank you, dear sister, for putting the link in the room. And our opening text is found in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. So this is a personal work that we're called to engage in, that we're called to bring about in our lives, where we're to examine ourselves, our words, our deeds, our thoughts, our actions. We're to prove it all and see if we're really in the faith that's pointed out in God's word or not. And we're not to wait for someone else to point out to us whether we're in the faith or not. We're to take the time ourselves to determine this. So if we never examine ourselves and we end up being lost, we can't blame our brothers and sisters around us for not pointing it out to us, because we were commanded by God to examine ourselves. And throughout this series, we have recognized that there's various aspects in construction of a house that fit in with examining our faith. We've seen that the structure of the house rests upon a platform or floor. We've seen that this floor has a foundation as well as supporting pillars underneath it, and all of these are founded upon a solid rock, upon bedrock, the rock Christ Jesus. We've seen that the sandy soil or ground that's to be dug away from the foundation and pillar so that they can rest on the rock, on Christ, represents resting or trusting in man or the commandments of men, So we're to have all of that rubbish taken away so that our foundation and pillars can rest directly on the solid rock. We've learned that the foundation represents the Word of God. We've learned that there are seven pillars that uphold this platform upon which the house rests upon, and that these pillars represent pillars of truth. And we found that the first pillar represents the first angel's message and the truths contained therein. The second pillar represents the second angel's message and the truths that it contained. The third pillar represents the temple of God in heaven, or the heavenly sanctuary, of which the earthly was just a pattern. The very central pillar of our faith, the fourth pillar that upholds the very central weight of the entire structure, represents our high priest's work in cleansing of the heavenly sanctuary in this antitypical day of atonement. And that's why the pillar you can see is nearly twice as thick as the rest of the supporting pillars there, because it has to bear the central weight of the entire structure. And we're currently on pillar number 5, dealing with the Sabbath commandment of God found in the Decalogue, or in the Ten Commandments. And last time, in part number 9, we learned that after working in creation for 6 straight days, God then ceased to work so that he could keep the 7th day being still and at rest. And he then spent this 7th day not lazying around, but focusing his attention upon all that he had previously created, especially mankind. And he could then fully celebrate his work and creation by taking that time to focus his attention upon them. We also learned that God blessed the Sabbath day to be a day in which mankind would follow his example and also being still and resting from all their work, and to also spend the 7th day in focusing away from themselves and adoring and worshiping God. And this would include kneeling, praising, saluting, thanking, and blessing him for all his wonderful works. We also found that in addition to blessing the 7th day, God also sanctified and consecrated the Sabbath to be holy time. And then he bid all of mankind to prepare themselves by purifying their body and the life completely on the 6th day, so that they would be physically and morally holy, and thus would be able to keep the Sabbath day holy when it occurred. And to all those who choose to prepare for and to keep the Sabbath day holy according to God's will, and will focus their attention upon him and not themselves, they will be greatly benefited and blessed by their time with God. So we discovered last time that the Sabbath was actually a day in which God would focus his attention upon mankind, and mankind were to focus their attention upon him, upon God. So the Sabbath was meant to be a day in which God and his creation would spend the time together in each other's company and fellowship. But those who would choose not to spend the Sabbath day in resting and worshiping God would actually be blaspheming God by their disobedience and rebellion to his will. Or those who would choose to enter into this holy time unclean and unholy in body or life would receive a curse instead of a blessing, because they would be defiling the Sabbath day and thus losing out of the great benefit and blessing of being able to commune directly with their Creator. Now, we then understood last time that after God led the children of Israel out of Egypt and before they arrived at Mount Sinai, God had told them that they were to keep the seventh day of the week as a Sabbath rest day to him, and were not to do any work, and that the sixth day was a day in which they were to prepare themselves for the arrival of the Sabbath. So this reveals to us that the very same seventh-day Sabbath of creation, as well as the sixth day being a preparation day and getting ready for the Sabbath, was still to be followed some 2,500 years after creation. So the seventh-day Sabbath of creation continued to occur every seventh day of the week for some 2,500 years, even though sin, the flood, as well as the Egyptian bondage had occurred. So that's what we discovered last time. But regarding this fourth commandment of the Sabbath, why was it so important for God to first speak this Sabbath law before his people arrived at Mount Sinai? None of the other commandments of God were specifically mentioned before they got to Sinai. So then, why just this Sabbath commandment? What makes the Sabbath so special above all the rest of God's law? And this is what we'll discover today. Now, if you look at quote number two, so why was the Sabbath so special and important above all the rest of God's law that it was the only commandment specifically mentioned before they arrived at Mount Sinai? And we get a clue to the answer of this question found in Exodus 31, verses 12 to 17. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. So God clearly reveals in this passage why the Sabbath was specially exalted above all the rest of the Ten Commandments and why it was so important. And the reason is because the seventh day Sabbath is a sign between God and his people. Now, what does the word sign mean? The Hebrew word for sign in this text is oath, O-W-T-H. And this word translates and means a signal as a flag, beacon, monument, evidence, mark. It also means sign and token. This is from Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, word number 226. So each weekly seventh-day Sabbath is the evidence that God rested after creating all things, which makes the Sabbath a visible signal, just like a flag or a sign or token, beacon, monument, or a mark. It's visible. And this signal, this flag, this sign, this mark is a token that all who worship God on this day are his people and he is their God. So this means that anyone can determine who are indeed the true followers of God versus those who are not the followers of God just by noticing on what day they choose to worship God on. Now, if you look at quote number 3. Now, when you closely examine the Sabbath commandment itself, Exodus 20, 8 through 11, you will discover that it amazingly contains the three main parts that are necessary to make a decree or a law of any king valid. And these three things are, first, his name. Second, his position. And third, his dominion, the territory he rules over. And when you examine the Sabbath, you'll see that it contains the name of the lawgiver, the Lord thy God. It also contains God's official position, who is the creator who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is. And the Sabbath also contains the dominion of God, which is heaven and earth. So within the Sabbath commandment itself, you have the three necessary things making the law of this king valid: his name, his position, and his dominion. But it's something more. And what makes this so significant is the fact that these very same three things are necessary to make a royal seal of a king official. The king's seal must have his name, his position, and his dominion as part of the seal in order to make it official. So since the Sabbath commandment contains these three necessary things within it, then this also shows us that the seventh-day Sabbath commandment contains the official seal of God. Now, a royal seal of a king is placed upon any royal decree to authenticate it as being directly from him, as well as to allow it to be ratified and legally binding and thus enforceable over all of his rightful subjects in his dominion. So then, since God is the king of heaven and earth, and since he has placed his seal into the Sabbath, and the Sabbath is the fourth commandment of his royal decree of 10 commandments, then God's entire law of 10 commandments is authenticated to be directly from him, as well as being ratified and legally binding and enforceable over all of his subjects, which is all of mankind. So since the Sabbath contains these three things that make up the seal of a king, then the Sabbath is not just the sign between God and his people, it is also the seal of God. Now, if you should remove the Sabbath from being connected with God's law, then God's commandments would no longer be valid or enforceable upon any of his subjects, because it would no longer contain God's official seal needed to authenticate the law as being from God. So this is why the fourth commandment was exalted above all the rest of God's law. because the Sabbath is a visible sign or a mark between those who truly love and worship God versus those who truly love and worship someone else. It is the seal that makes the whole Ten Commandments valid and enforceable because it authenticates it as being directly from the Lord, the Creator, the King of the universe himself. So the Sabbath not only contains the seal of God and validates the entire law, but it's also the visible evidence, the flag, the sign between those who serve God versus those who serve him not. Between the obedient and the disobedient. And thus, between the saved and the lost. Now, this salvational truth regarding the Sabbath day was one of the reasons why God repeated the importance of this seventh day to his people some 1,000 years after Mount Sinai. In Ezekiel 20, verses 12 and then 19 and 20, we're told, "Moreover also, I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them. I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and hallow my Sabbaths. And they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God." So the seventh day Sabbath is the mark or sign between God and his people. And keeping the Sabbath day holy distinguishes you to be a follower of God from all the rest who claim to be Christians. But did you know that the word Sabbath itself teaches this same truth? Just the word itself teaches you this. If you look at quote number 4, the word Sabbath contains these following elements to it. Ab, A-B, means father in Hebrew. You can find this in Strong's word number 1. B, the second B in Sabbath, indicates a dwelling place like Bethlehem, and it also means of something. For instance, Tisha B'Av in Hebrew means the ninth day of or dwelling in the month of Av. So the B there indicates a dwelling place, and it also means of something. Now, Ath, A-T-H, means a sign. And this is Strong's Hebrew word at number 852. So combining all of these elements together shows that the word Sabbath itself means the dwelling place of the sign of the Father. Amazing, isn't it? So those who keep this seventh day Sabbath holy to God are connecting themselves with his seal. And they are also revealing that they desire him to be their God and they desire to be his people. But there's a vast difference between desire and obtaining possession of something. It's one thing to obey God because you recognize the truth. But it is quite another thing to obey God because you love him. There will be Sabbath keepers who will find themselves waking up in the second resurrection of damnation because they were only legalists at heart. they did not keep God's law out of love for him, but only to avoid destruction. So even though in keeping the Sabbath you're connecting yourself with God's seal, yet if you do not possess love for God in your heart, and that is the motive for your obedience, then you will never obtain and possess the seal of God. You may connect yourself with it by keeping the Sabbath, but you'll never obtain it unless you keep the Sabbath out of love for God. Now, if you look at quote number 5. To those who do love God with all of their heart and all of their mind, soul, strength, and who then keep God's commandments, including the Sabbath, will indeed be able to obtain and possess the seal or mark of God, because God himself will make sure of it. Here's a promise you can stand on. In Revelation 7, verses 1 to 3, and Revelation 9, verse 4. And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. So those who have the seal of God's in their foreheads, not on their foreheads, in their foreheads, will be protected. Those who do not have the seal of God in their foreheads will be destroyed. In Ezekiel 9, verses 3 to 6 and verse 11. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house, and the house referred to the house of the church there at Jerusalem. And behold, the man clothed with linen, which had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me. So here the seal was put within their foreheads, or in other words, their hearts, written in their hearts. But what is actually sealed or written within our foreheads or hearts? We're told in Isaiah 8, verse 16, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. So those who love God and who keep his commandments, including the Sabbath, will receive the seal or mark of God in their foreheads or hearts. because the Sabbath is the distinguishing sign to all the world that we truly love and serve God and no one else. But those who do not love God supremely will not receive God's seal, and thus they will be targeted for destruction forever. So now, who is this man clothed in linen with the writer's ink horn that goes through the land and puts this mark, this seal of the living God, in the foreheads of all God's followers? If you look at quote number 6, in Ephesians 4, verses 29 to 32. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice or bad feelings. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So this passage reveals to us that the Holy Spirit is the God who continually works upon our heart to rid us of self-love, and in its place establishes love for God and Jesus Christ. And once this love has begun within us, the Holy Spirit steadily transforms us from rebellion to loyalty, from disobedience to obedience, and gradually settles or fixes us in the truth of God's word to the point that his commandments, especially the Sabbath, becomes our delight to keep. The Sabbath then becomes to us a special time that we look forward to each week, not so that we can do our own will, but so we can come close in communion with the God we truly love and adore, and him with us. And if we keep the Sabbath in this beautiful way, we'll be greatly blessed by this time spent directly with our God. We're told in Isaiah 58, verses 13 to 14. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him on this day, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So then the Sabbath becomes a special time that you look forward to each week. Not so you can do your own will or speak your own words or find your own pleasure on the Sabbath, but so that you can come into close communion with God and fall more and more in love with him each Sabbath day. Now, once this bond of union between you and God has consistently been maintained and is ever increasing in closeness and strength and love, no matter how severe the test or trial may be to break the Sabbath, then the Holy Spirit will place God's mark and seal within your heart and forehead and you will forevermore be a child of the heavenly King from that moment on. You'll receive the seal of the living God. But not a single one of us will obtain that seal for ourselves before we're tested on how much we truly love God and keep His commandments. So the Holy Spirit is the God who seals us to the day of redemption. But He's not the only one working in our hearts. But God the Father is also preparing us, working upon us to be able to receive His seal. You look at quote number 7 from Philippians 2, verses 12 to 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. We're also told in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3 to 4 and 7 to 8. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel or body in sanctification and honor. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. In John 17, verses 11 and 17. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So God's involved in our sanctification, working within us to perform His good pleasure and not our own. So we're to be sanctified through the truth. And in Psalms 119, verse 42, we're told, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. So we're sanctified by following the truth of God's law, His word, His commandments. So it's not only the Holy Spirit who's working within us to transform us from sin to righteousness, but the Father Himself is also working in us through the Holy Spirit to sanctify us in holiness and in keeping His law and word of truth. But the Holy Spirit and the Father are not the only gods involved in getting us prepared to receive this blessed seal and mark of God. If you look at quote number 8 from John 17, verses 18 to 19 and 22 to 3. As thou, Father, hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Also in Matthew 12, 8, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. And in Mark 2, verses 27 and 8, And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. So these verses show us that Jesus sanctified himself in order that all of his followers could become sanctified themselves. And who is the Lord God of the Sabbath? We're told it's Jesus Christ. So since he is the Lord God of the Sabbath day, then he will indeed work within us through the Holy Spirit to sanctify us. We've already read in Ezekiel 20, verse 12, moreover also I, or the Lord God, gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, and that they might know that I am the Lord, Jesus Christ, that sanctify them. Also in Exodus 31, 12, verily my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that does sanctify you. So these passages show us that Jesus is also working in us through the Holy Spirit to sanctify us, especially when we meet with him on the Sabbath day that he's the Lord of or creator of. So these things amazingly reveal to us that all three gods in the Godhead, the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, are each earnestly working within you and me to purify us from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, so that we will become sanctified and able to perfectly keep God's law and keep the Sabbath holy. And this is only possible because we love them for what they have and are and will continue to do for us until we are sealed and possess the mark of God in our foreheads and hearts, and thus will forevermore dwell with them in paradise. But without the Sabbath, God's law is not valid. So if we do away with the Sabbath commandment, we're doing away with the validity of God's law being enforced today. But there's no way that we can keep God's law without keeping the Sabbath holy. They go hand in hand because the Sabbath validates God's law. And it's also the sign, the mark, between us and our Creator. Now we've seen that the fall of Adam and Eve and the bringing in of sin into this world did not change the way God and Christ desired their followers to worship them, as the very same seventh-day Sabbath that was established at creation was the very same seventh-day Sabbath that God declared his people were to keep holy before and after Mount Sinai when the law was given or written down. But what about after the time that Jesus was born into humanity? Did this incarnation or the union of God and man in Christ Jesus bring any changes to the way that God and Christ desired their followers to worship them? Did the incarnation change how God wanted his people to worship and to honor him? And this is what we'll be investigating into next Sabbath. This is the day that the Lord hath made. If we're his true people, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Because we get to spend the time directly with our Creator and He with us. And this is my prayer, that each one of us will come to that position and truly become blessed and sanctified. Our closing song is titled Trust and Obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or fear, not a sigh or a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our truly God which we repair. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Amen. But we never can prove the delight of His love. Unto all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows, for the joy He bestows, all for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Amen. Amen. And the root, the ground, the foundation of our trusting and obedience in God must be love. Then God will accept our trust and obedience. And praise God that He will indeed plant His love in our hearts so that we can truly love Him in return. It's now time for closing prayer, and would a dear brother or sister here like to offer that?
Thank you for everything, for keeping us safe, that everybody start going to heaven. Just say amen.
Amen. And a thank you, dear sister. Well, dear ones, are there any thoughts, comments, questions, any testimonies, any songs, requests? Please feel free.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the saves the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin to self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him more and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
Amen, and a thank you, dear brother. And praise God for the privilege of being able to trust in Jesus. And it is indeed sweet, delightful, brings joy and peace, contentment, and love. Amen. We were earlier talking about the closeness that Christ has with each individual, that even though he died for the whole world, yet he has a personal interest in each individual. And even if there was only one person that chose to follow him, he would have died for that one in order to save them. And in thinking about that, this hymn falls right into place. I come to the garden alone, while the dew and the voice I hear falling on, Son of God, dead. and he walks with me. And he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share.
He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet. The birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He stay in the garden with me through the night, around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of all. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share, we tarry there, no other as ever known.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than house or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin-dressed way. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
I'd rather have Jesus than man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Amen. He's fairer than the lilies of the rarest bloom. He's sweeter than the honey from out of the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead, than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world's a fool.
today.
I like to sing the hymn Jesus Love the World. There is actually two versions. The one the moms put is a new one. There is also an old one that came before that one. It goes something like this. Hark the herald angels sing, Jesus the light of the world. Glory to the newborn king, Jesus the light of the world. We'll walk in the light, beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright, shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Joyful all ye nations rise, Jesus, the light of the world. Join the triumph of the skies, Jesus, the light of the world. We'll walk in the light, beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Christ by highest heaven adored, Jesus, the light of the world. Christ the everlasting Lord, Jesus, the light of the world. We'll walk in the light, beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, Jesus, the light of the world. Hail the Son of Righteousness, Jesus, the light of the world. We'll walk in the light, beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of...
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the wood and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountains, Gorinder, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son must sparing, send him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sins. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Amen. I'm not sure if, Brother Bob, you have opened my eyes that I may see. It's a beautiful study that we have. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall enclose and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, I will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my ears that I may hear voices of truth that says be clear. And while the wave no fall on my ears, everything false will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, I will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my mouth and let me bear gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart, no, open my heart and let me prepare Love this the children does to share. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, I will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine.
Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify the Father, which is in heaven. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16.
When Jesus is my portion, a conscious friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Thank you. Why should I feel discouraged? And why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me.
I apologize.
So I sing because I'm happy, and I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me.
Let not your heart be troubled. His tender word I hear, and resting on his goodness, I lose my doubts and fears. Though by the path he leadeth, just one step I may see. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free, for his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches.
Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs give place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to him. From care he sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow,
and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free, for his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Sorry about that. That wasn't my key.
I like to sing another hymn, but didn't sing for quite a while. It's the very same Jesus. Come sinners to the living one, he's just the same Jesus as when he raised the widow's son. The very same Jesus, the very same Jesus, the wonder-working Jesus. Oh, praise his name, he's just the same, the very same Jesus. Come feast upon the living bread, he's just the same Jesus as when the multitudes he fed. The very same Jesus, the very same Jesus, the wonder-working Jesus. Oh, praise his name, he's just the same, the very same Jesus. Come tell him all your griefs and fears, he's just the same Jesus as when he shed those loving tears. The very same Jesus, is the very same Jesus, the wonder-working Jesus. Oh, praise his name, he's just the same, the very same Jesus. Come follow him for clearer light, he's just the same Jesus as when he gave a blind their sight. The very same Jesus, the very same Jesus, the wonder-working Jesus. Oh, praise his name, he's just the same, the very same Jesus. Calm as the waves of trouble be, he's just the same Jesus as when he hushed the raging sea. The very same Jesus, the very same Jesus, the wonder-working Jesus. Oh, praise his name, he's just the same, the very same Jesus. Someday our raptured eyes shall see, he's just the same Jesus. Oh, blessed day for you and me, the very same Jesus, the very same Jesus, the wonder-working Jesus. Oh, praise his name, he's just the same, the very same Jesus. Amen.
Here's a song that we haven't heard for years, and it popped up in our heads last night. And oh, this morning, see, time flies for an old man. And I started trying to sing it, and then we finally searched out the words. What the world needs is Jesus. What the world needs is Jesus, just a glimpse of him. What the world needs is Jesus, just a glimpse of him. He will bring joy and gladness, take away sin and sadness. What the world needs is Jesus, just a glimpse of him. What the world needs is Jesus, just a glimpse of him. What the world needs is Jesus, just a glimpse of him. He will bring joy and gladness, take away sin and sadness. What the world needs is Jesus, just a glimpse of him.
Amen. Te necesito Cristo en español, and I'm sure I'm singing also in English for those that will not understand the words.
Te necesito ya, bendito Salvador. Me infunde dulce paz,
tu tierna voz de amor. Te necesito, Cristo. Sí, te necesito con corazón concreto. Acudo a ti. Te necesito ya, tú no me dejarás, y yo siempre venceré si tú conmigo estás. Te necesito, Cristo, sí, te necesito, con corazón contrito, acudo a ti. Te necesito ya, tu santa voluntad y tus promesas mil en mí cumplen verdad. Te necesito, Cristo, sí, te necesito, con corazón concreto, acudo a ti. Te necesito ya, Santísimo Señor. Tuyo hazme nada más, bendito Salvador. Te necesito, Cristo, sí, te necesito, con corazón contrito, I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, all I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour, stay Thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when Thou art nigh. I need thee, all I need thee, every hour need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, for life is vain. I need thee, all I need thee, every hour need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee.
I need thee every hour, teach me thy will, and thy rich promises in me fulfill. Oh, I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thy indeed, thou blessed son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
Amen, and thank you for all of your singing and praising God. And are there any other songs, any other thoughts or comments, questions, anything else that you'd like to share? Please feel free.
I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart, I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart, Tuesday. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. I got the peace that passes understanding down in the depths of my heart.
Down in the depths of my heart.
Where?
Down in the depths of my heart.
I got the peace that passes understanding down in the depths of my heart.
Where?
Down in the depths of my heart. Tuesday. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my H-E-A-R-T. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. That's all we remember.
Amen, and thank you for that. It's been a while since I've heard that song, and thank you so much for singing the song of joy in our heart to the Lord. And the devil doesn't like it, but it's still in our hearts. Well, dear ones, may God bless. Keep looking up. Looking forward to fellowshipping with you again on the next coming Sabbath. But remember, we also have a Wednesday night meeting. And so we hope to see you then, 6 p.m. Pacific and 9 p.m. Eastern. And I'd like to leave you with this last hymn. And please feel free to take a verse. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture that burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior, happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above. Filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story. This is my song. Praise Him, my Savior, all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen. Amen. May God bless, dear ones, and have a wonderful week resting in the Lord.